Welcome back to the deep dive. We take those really dense technical sources and we basically pull out the key stuff, giving you what you need to know without all the extra noise.
Yeah, getting straight to the point.
Exactly. So today, our mission is all about what happens before things really get going, before the cameras start rolling or the coders start coding.
Right.
We're diving into three, well, pretty essential pre-production documents, the ones that guide like everything from movies to mobile apps.
Yeah, it's kind of like looking at the blueprints before the building starts. We're talking storyboards, visualization diagrams, and wireframes. And these three, people often mix them up or just lump them together. But actually, each one has a really specific, critical job to do. So our goal today is to quickly show you not just what they are, but maybe more importantly, why they matter so much to different teams. They're almost like different languages for production.
Okay, different languages. I like that. Let's unpack this then. Where should we start? Maybe with the most movie-like one, storyboards.
Yeah, good place to start. Storyboards. Their main job, really, is to visualize time and sequence. So a storyboard visually lays out what happens in each scene or even each shot, and crucially, in order, like reading a comic strip, left to right, top to bottom. They're absolutely essential for anything that, well, moves. So films, videos, animation, even those cutscenes in computer games.
But hang on, why not just write, he looks surprised in the script. Why do we need a whole separate drawing to show, say, a low angle shot?
That's a great question. It's because the crew, the people actually making it, they need clear, unambiguous visual instructions, not just text they have to interpret.
Right, interpretation can lead to problems.
Exactly. The script tells you what the character says, maybe what they do broadly. But the storyboard tells the camera operator exactly how to frame that moment, how to capture the feeling visually.
So it's more precise.
Much more. A complete storyboard frame isn't just a sketch. It needs, well, basic admin stuff, first title, author version, page number,
Standard stuff, too.
standard stuff. But then it gets specific. The drawing itself, obviously. And then the language used about the shot. This is key.
Okay, this is where it gets interesting. What kind of language?
We're talking specific camera shots, like extreme close-up or maybe a long shot, a mid-shot, defining that frame.
And angles, too, right? You mentioned low angle, so things like over the shoulder, aerial view.
Absolutely. Those angles totally change the feel, the power dynamic in the shot. You have to specify it.
And movement. How do you show if the camera itself is moving?
Usually with arrows, actually. Simple arrows drawn right on the sketch. They show if the camera needs to pan, which is turning side to side, or tilt up and down. Those are simpler movements. Or, and this is important, if it needs to track or dolly. That means the whole camera is moving through space.
And track versus dolly. Isn't there a technical difference there? Like tracking often means laying down actual tracks.
You got it. If you specify a track shot on that storyboard, you're basically telling the production manager, we need rails. We need a specific camera mount.
Okay, so that little arrow isn't just artistic direction, it's a budget line item. It impacts time, equipment.
Precisely. It's a financial and logistical commitment right there in the drawing. And it goes beyond just the visuals, too.
What else?
Well, storyboards integrate other crucial stuff. Timings, for instance. Notes about how long a shot or sequence should roughly last gives you a feel for the pacing.
Right, pacing is key.
And sound information. Dialogue cues, yes, but also important sound effects like a door slamming that makes someone jump, ambient sound, background noise, music cues, even.
So sound that actually drives the action or reaction needs to be noted.
If it's important for the timing or the visual, yes. And one more thing, transitions.
Like how you get from one shot to the next. Cuts, fades.
Exactly. Cut, fade in, fade out, dissolve, wipe, all those. Now, often transitions are done in editing, in post-production. But if the type of transition affects how you actually film the scene, maybe a slow dissolve needs the actors to hold their positions longer or something, then you need to plan for it on the storyboard.
Okay, that makes sense. Wow, there's a lot packed into those little boxes.
There really is. And you can see how this directly impacts the practical side, especially location choices.
So.
Well, the shots you've defined in the storyboard, the lighting needed, the space needed for that dolly shot, they immediately tell you where you can and can't film, and that hits the budget hard.
So if the storyboard demands like perfect controlled lighting, maybe for a sci-fi scene.
Then you might go for a studio. You get total control, but you're paying higher fees, renting lighting gear. If you need a really huge space, maybe build a massive set, you look at a soundstage. very controlled, soundproof, but super expensive. You're building everything from scratch.
Right, big budget stuff.
Definitely. Or if the director wants that authentic real-world feel.
You go outdoors, location shooting.
Exactly. You get realism, infinite choice of backdrops around the world.
Yeah.
But the storyboard artist and the whole team, they have to think about the downsides.
Like?
Weather.
Huh?
Completely unpredictable. Permits you often need permission to film in public places. Safety factors, especially in remote or difficult terrain. It all adds complexity and cost.
So that choice studio control versus location realism, it flows right back to the storyboard planning and has huge ripples on the budget and the schedule.
Absolutely. It shows how linked everything is. So yeah, storyboards are just vital for the whole production crew. Location managers, lighting crew, camera operators, animators, even game programmers mapping out sequences.
It's like the single source of truth for how each shot needs to work, minimizing confusion and wasted time.
You nailed it. That's the core value. Okay, so ready to pivot.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
We've covered time and movement. What's next? Static stuff.
Exactly. We're shifting from the flow, the sequence, to the final look. The static aesthetic.
Okay, so this sounds like the visualization diagram, or VD, right? Storyboards handle the how it unfolds, the crew's job list. How does a VD shift focus purely to how it looks at the end?
Well, the purpose changes completely. It's not about sequence anymore. It's about the final appearance and layout. A VD aims to show exactly how a final static product will look.
Static product? Like what?
Think posters, brochures, magazine covers, DVD or Blu-ray covers, even a design for a single static web page or a t-shirt design.
Okay, things that don't inherently move or change over time.
Right, and the key insight here is that the VD is like the cheapest insurance policy you can get.
How do you mean?
It lets you show the client this is what it's going to look like and get their approval before you spend potentially hundreds of hours actually creating the high-resolution finished artwork. It's designed for rapid approval, making sure you've hit the client's brief.
Ah, so it's a crucial client communication tool. Saves a lot of potentially wasted effort later if they don't like the direction.
Huge amounts of time and money. So what's in a VD? Key elements are the layout where everything sits on the page or screen, the positioning of images. Graphics.
Pretty straightforward.
It seems so. But the most critical part, the bit that often gets done poorly, is annotation.
Annotation? You mean like writing notes on it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You absolutely must add notes to explain things the basic sketch can't show. Features, specific colors, you might just draw lines indicating blue background, but you need text saying Pantone 300C.
Okay, so color codes. What else?
Typography details. What font? What size? Is it bold? Is it italic? Is a headline meant to be in all caps? You have to write it down. Without detailed annotation, the graphic designer is just guessing.
Right. The sketch might show layout, but not the fine details. And for something like, say, a magazine cover.
Good example. The VD would need to show where the magazine's logo goes, the price, the barcode, the publication date, all positioned accurately. It's defining that whole visual identity for that specific issue.
Okay, so it's a really practical blueprint for the designer.
Totally. And they can be created in different ways. You can still do them hand-drawn quick sketches.
Sure. Yeah.
Or digitally, using Photoshop, maybe Illustrator, or specific DDP programs, desktop publishing software like InDesign. Even Word or PowerPoint can be used, though maybe less ideal.
And the point of digital is speed.
Speed and clarity, yeah.
Yeah.
A digital VD should be way faster to knock out than creating the final polished product.
Yeah.
Allows for quick revisions if the client says, can we try moving that image over here?
Makes sense. But quick question. If VDs are meant to be relatively fast and maybe a bit rough, why would anyone make a really polished, high-fidelity mock-up before getting client sign-off? Isn't the VD enough?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Often, the VD is enough for initial approval of the concept and layout into the blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
The high-fidelity mock-up comes later, closer to the final execution. The VD's job is to get the core ideas, layout, colors, fonts, the main visual concept approved first. If your VD just has a box vaguely labeled photo here, that's not really helpful. The sketch needs to convey the idea of the photo, and the annotations need to fill in all the technical gaps, colors, fonts, sizes.
Got it. So a good VD is annotated thoroughly and clearly communicates the final intent.
Exactly. It has to be useful for the person who actually has to build it.
All right. That brings us neatly to the third tool. We've done the movie timeline with storyboards, the final static look with VDs. What about interactive stuff? Websites, apps? That feels different again.
We need a skeleton, right? Not just the skin.
Perfect analogy. That's where wireframes come in. They are the structural skeleton.
Okay, so what defines a wireframe? How is it different?
Its purpose is really simple. Show the layout of multiple pages or screens. and this is the absolute key part, show how those pages or screens are connected. What happens when you click this button? Where does this link go?
Okay. So the big difference is connectivity and function, not looks. Precisely. A wireframe deliberately shows much less visual detail than a visualization diagram. Aesthetics are not the point here.
Why less detail?
Because in interactive media, the content itself, the text, the specific images, is often dynamic. It changes based on the user, or it's pulled from a database.
Mm-hmm.
So the wireframe doesn't worry about the exact photo or the final polished text.
Okay, so how does it represent content then?
Very simply, images are usually just shown as a box with a big X through it, plate holder.
Right.
Text is often just indicated by lines like squiggles or maybe some dummy lorem ipsum text.
Right.
Buttons, menus, text, input boxes. They're just shown as basic shapes, simple squares or rectangles, often labeled like submit button or search box.
Super basic, functional, almost like an architect's floor plan rather than an interior design sketch.
Exactly. It speaks the language of the developer and the user experience designer. It's all about structure and flow.
So who uses these then? If VDs are for graphic designers and clients, who needs a wireframe?
Primarily website designers and developers, app programmers, and very importantly, UX designers. User experience designers.
UX designers. Their focus is on how easy and intuitive it is to use, right?
Exactly. They use wireframes to map out the user's journey. Is it logical? Can people find what they need easily? They figure out that structural blueprint and make sure the flow works before the visual designers, who will use the VDs later, even start thinking about colors and branding.
Okay, so it's like planning the plumbing and wiring in a house before you worry about the paint, color, and furniture. Establishes the core functionality first.
Couldn't have said it better. And just like the others, wireframes can be quick pen and paper sketches.
Yeah.
Or you can use specialist software. Tools like Balthomic are really popular because they're designed specifically for making these low-fidelity wireframes super quickly, much faster than trying to wrangle boxes in a word processor usually.
Right. Using the right tool for the job saves time again. Okay, so we've got these three distinct tools now.
Yeah, and when you line them up, you can really see how they each tackle a different strategic part of the planning process.
Let's just zoom out for a second then and sort of recap the big picture here. We started with storyboards.
Right, focusing on time, sequence, action, primarily talking to the physical production crew, impacting budget and logistics, the how it unfolds document.
Then we move to visualization diagrams.
All about aesthetics, the final look for static products. Talking mainly to the client for approval and the graphic designer for execution, the what it looks like document.
And finally, wireframes.
Focusing on structure and connectivity for interactive media. Talking directly to the developers, programmers, and UX experts. The how it works or how it connects document.
Okay. So understanding all three and when to use which, that's pretty fundamental for anyone involved in media creation, isn't it?
Absolutely essential. If you want a detailed, well-explained design process, you need to know these tools. They are, at their core, communication tools. Mm-hmm. They make sure everyone's on the same page, that the client's brief is understood and met, and they save huge amounts of time and rework for the specialized production staff down the line.
Yeah, because ambiguity costs time and money. Whether you're the camera operator seeing that pan arrow or the graphic designer matching that Pantone color from the annotation or the app developer coding the link shown in the wireframe, mm-hmm. you need that clarity. These documents provide that foundation.
They really do. It's fascinating, isn't it? We saw how, like, a storyboard needs those tiny detail specific camera moves for the operator.
Mm-hmm.
And a VD needs super specific color codes for the designer. It really highlights the level of detail involved.
Yeah, definitely.
Which actually brings up an interesting final thought for you, the listener, to mull over. Thinking about just how much information is packed into these clients, everything from sound cues on a storyboard to those safety factors for outdoor filming we mentioned to the exact pixel position on a wireframe. How often do you think the reality of being on set or deep in development forces improvisation? How often does that immediate need, a sudden weather change, a technical glitch, a user testing insight, end up overriding even the most meticulously crafted pre-production plan? It's just something to think about the next time you're watching a really complex movie scene or navigating through a new app, how much was perfectly planned and how much was maybe figured out on the fly.